In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith, and we are called to do good works. We need to look again at the 25th chapter of Matthew, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and he will come in his glory at the end of time, and all the angels with him, yes, there will be angels with him, all of them, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. I remember on a Friday, it was the last time that they brought in the sheep and the goats, and I was very interested, because in the Holy Land they would separate them, sheep from the goats, and I saw that, and I said, this is exactly what it says in Matthew 25, and he will put the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will say and answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it? And when was it when we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, naked and we gave you clothing? When was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly, truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. As often as you did this to the least of the people that belong to Jesus, you did it to Jesus. And he will say, come, blessed of my Father, because you did all these things. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. That's what James tells us. You know, they wanted to, some of the people in the beginning with Martin Luther, wanted to dump the letter to James, but the church would not let him do it. Faith without works is dead. Then he will say to those on his left hand, the goats, you are accursed. Depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and for his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't welcome me. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they will also answer and say, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly, truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to the least of my friends, you did not do it to me. And these will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Oh yes, it tells us how to live. We need to care for the poor. We need to give them food. We need to give them drink. We need to go visit them. Jesus says, if you did it for them, you did it for me. And I wonder how many of us do it for Jesus, that we see the poor and the broken, and we care for them, and we pray for them. I wonder how many of us do that. I wonder. I don't think very many people do that. But yet, to do it to the least of his family, do it to Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Faith without works is dead. I tell you, we need to be the sheep on his right hand and not the goats on his left hand. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, chapter 26, he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days the Passover is coming and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. He's not afraid. He just tells them, the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and they conspired to arrest Jesus by stealth and to kill him. But they said, not during the festival, or there may be riots among the people, because the people saw Jesus at least as a prophet. Now, while Jesus was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment. You know, that woman found out that Jesus was in the house of Simon the leper, and she stole into that house, and she broke the alabaster jar. The only way to get into that alabaster jar was to break it, and she put the costly ointment on the head of Jesus, and she poured it on his head as he sat at table. But when the disciples saw it, they were angry and said, why this waste? For this ointment could have been sold for a large sum of money, and the money would be given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you trouble the woman? She has performed a good service for me, for you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In other words, the poor will always be with us, but Jesus is going to heaven. By pouring this ointment on my body, she has prepared me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this good news or this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. And we hear that today. That woman, we don't know who it is. We don't even give her a name. But she did a good thing to Jesus. Are you doing good things to those that follow Jesus? Are you doing good things to those who love Jesus? Oh yes, we are called to do that. We are called to do that. Faith without works is dead. Verse 14. Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, what will you give me if I betray him to you? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Imagine, one of his own. One of his own, who saw miracles, who saw the multiplication of bread and fish, who saw the dead being raised. One of his own went to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover? Where? We want to celebrate the Passover with you. He said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. Everything Jesus says is true. Everything Jesus says is true. But we need to know if it's really Jesus. Oh yes, my voice, I can hear voices too, but sometimes they're not the voice of Jesus. Sometimes they're my own voice. Oh yes, this is true. That's why we need discernment of spirits. so that we would do what Jesus is telling us. And what Jesus is telling us is in the scriptures and in the church. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." His heart was broken that Judas would be the one to betray him, one of his very own. And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Woe to you, Judas. Woe to you, Judas. I would have been better for that one never to have been born." Judas, who betrayed Jesus, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus replied, "You have said so." Oh, yes. One of his very own. That's the thing. It wasn't a stranger. It wasn't Caiaphas. It was one of his very own that he called to be an apostle, one sent to preach the gospel, one of his very own. And while they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." And he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood, the blood of the covenant." I did that this morning at Mass, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Not for all, but for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Oh, yes. Jesus says that he's going to drink of the fruit of the vine in the kingdom of God. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is very interesting because so many people are going to say Jesus is afraid to die. I don't see that at all. He told his disciples that the Son of Man will be betrayed and crucified. He wasn't afraid to say it. But let's look now. When Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." That's exactly what happened. As Jesus was struck, the sheep of the flock were scattered. "But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." Oh, yes, that's easy to say. Jesus said to Peter, "Truly I tell you, this very night before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." Peter said to Jesus, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." Oh, it's so easy to speak, isn't it? It's so easy to speak. Speak words, "I would never deny you, Jesus." And you know what? How many times have we denied Jesus by our sins? How many times have we denied Jesus? And yet, he is the forgiver. He sends the Holy Spirit to forgive our sins. Oh yes, as we go to confession, as we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive our sins. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. That's the place where the olive was crushed. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." As he began to pray, the sins of the world started to be drawn into him. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be grieved and agitated. Why? Because he's accepting the sin of the world. It starts in Gethsemane. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, the cup of experiencing the sin of the world. And you know what? The cup did pass from him. He sent angels to minister to Jesus in Luke's gospel. Oh, yes. He was not afraid to die. He was experiencing the sin of the world. It started to be drawn into him at Gethsemane. Yet not what I want, but what you want. Then came to his disciples, and what did he do? He found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me for 1 hour?" Well, they were experiencing the heaviness that Jesus was experiencing. They couldn't deal with this heaviness, so they fell asleep. It's so easy to fall asleep on Jesus. But we need to stay awake and pray. For we need to do that. So could you not stay awake with me for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. I remember a woman came to me when I was in Petersham. She was suicidal. I remember saying to her, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could have a new life?" She says, "It's impossible." I said, "Oh, no, it's not. Jesus wants to give you a new life." And we prayed that Jesus would come into her life and that she would be forgiven of all her sins. And you know what happened? She received peace. She received peace, and she started to spit up all these demons. She said, "What's happening?" I said, "Well, Jesus is using a broom to take away anything that's not of him. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I can stay awake with you, Jesus. I will stay awake with you, Jesus. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." That's still the same way. Still the same way. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, the angels came to minister to him. Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of sinners." That's what's going to happen. The hour has come. In John's Gospel, the hour is the hour of crucifixion and resurrection. "Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him, with the great crowd, with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders and of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." The one I kiss, imagine that he denied Jesus as he kissed him. And so at once he came to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed Jesus, and Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." He calls him friend still. As he betrays him, he calls him friends. Is Jesus your friend? He's at least my friend. He's more than a friend. He's the Lord. He's my Savior. He's my everything. I cannot live without him. He is everything for me. I need him. I want him. I love him. What about you? Do you need him? Of course you do. Do you want him? Of course you do. Do you love him? Do you love Jesus? Have you told him today, "I love you, Jesus"? And then they came and laid hands upon Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send with me more than 12 legions of angels, but how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way? Like a sheep led to the slaughter, like a lamb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. The scriptures must be fulfilled, that he would be crucified for us, that he would shed his blood for us, for you, for me, that he would rise from the dead. Oh yes, the scriptures must be fulfilled. And you know what? Little did the chief priests know that they were fulfilling the scriptures. I tell you, the scriptures need to be studied and prayed, and we need to read them, and we need that. At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching you, and you did not arrest me." Not only was he teaching in the temple, but healing people. "But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled. Like a lamb led to the slaughterhouse, like a sheep before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Oh yes. Those who were arrested, Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following at a distance, not too close, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple,'" he was speaking of the body, his body, "of God, and build it in 3 days." The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Like a sheep led to the slaughterhouse, like a lamb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. What was he doing? Drawing all the sin of people, my sin and your sin, into his broken heart. Then the high priest said to Jesus, "I put you under oath before the living God. All of us want to know if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power of God and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He is blaspheming. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy." It's not blasphemy, it's the truth, that we will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power of God and coming on the clouds of heaven. They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?" Now Peter, sitting outside in the courtyard, a servant girl came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him and said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for your accent, the way you speak, betrays you." Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, Judas could have done the same thing, but he didn't. He didn't. He killed himself. He didn't think that God could forgive him. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Are you one of the people that minister to Jesus as you minister to the poor? Do you have clothing that you want to bring to the Holy Rosary so that we can give this clothing to people that are in need? You know, are you helping us to feed the poor? Do you send in donations to feed the poor on the Saturday? You can do these things. These things are for you to do and for me to do. But you know what? We become so destroyed by our own problems. I want you to know Jesus loves you. And he says, be at peace. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.